out of time here, and I want people to be able to reach you at your website, soaw.org, soaw.org, and to be able to be in touch with the School of the Americas Watch. Any final thought for us today, Roy?
Well, it's just a joy always to be with you, Blaze. Keep up, you must say, what you're doing there is just giving us so much hope in the struggle. On that website, there are also a lot of resources, DVDs, videos, books, booklets that can give you more information on how we might be peacemakers. Lastly, Bishop Oscar Romero, you know, before he was assassinated by a graduate of this school we're trying to shut down, he said, we can all do something for peace, and we can do it well. And this is the moment, really.
Happy are you peacemakers, you shall be called the children of God. I've been speaking today with Father Roy Bourgeois, founder of the School of the Americas Watch, and one of the most effective organizers for international peace and justice. Thanks again, Roy.
Thank you, Blaze.
Bye-bye now. That's it for Sprouts. I'm Blaze Bonpain of KPFK in Los Angeles. Production assistance came from KPFK and the Office of the Americas. Sprouts is distributed and coordinated by Pacifica Radio Network. Many thanks to Michael Yoshida at Satellite Operations. If you or someone at your station has a radio production you wish to rebroadcast on Sprouts to showcase it nationally, contact our air traffic controller, Ursula, that's U-R-S-U-L-A, Ursula Rudenberg, at ursula@pacifica.org. That's ursula@pacifica.org. See you next week on Sprouts.
And coming up next on Free Radio, it's Bathrop Spears Broadsides with special guests Linda LeMaster and Anita Henry. Stay tuned.
The good times are coming. They'll be coming real soon, and I'm not just pitching pennies at the moon. I'm not about to come unhinged when everything goes wrong. A fact is something to be faced, but not for very long. The good times are coming, they'll be coming real soon. And I'm not just pitching pennies at the moon. The good times are coming. When they come, I'll be there with my both feet firmly planted in midair. There's gonna be a place for us, a place where we belong, to stand outside just looking in has got to be all wrong. The good times are coming, they'll be coming real soon. And I'm not just pitching pennies at the moon. The good times are coming.
And that's the scratchy version of The Good Times Are Comin', a song, of course, by Mama Cass Elliott. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. Phone number here is 427-3772. 427-3772. And for a third time, 427-3772. If you want to call in, comment, criticize, commend, you name it, we'll take it. If you want to call off air and talk to me or arrange for an interview or have some questions that perhaps you don't want to put publicly or, you know, wish to do some background on first, you can call the Huff line, Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. Also, my phone, which is 423-HUFF, 423-4833, 423-HUFF. You can also contact Free Radio Santa Cruz if you want to leave a voicemail, or I should say leave on the voicemail, a PSA, public service announcement, which we will play, assuming it is within our guidelines. You can also donate equipment, give money, get information yourself about how to be a member of Free Radio Santa Cruz and get your own show. And that number to call is 427-4523, 427-4523. You can all send snail mail to us at Post Office Box 7507-95061, Santa Cruz. Again, Free Radio Santa Cruz, Post Office Box 7507, Santa Cruz 95061. And that information, I believe, is repeated on the voicemail, 427-4523. And if it isn't, just leave a message and we will call you back. Or at least one of the faithful voicemailer attendees will. I, of course, haven't contacted the voicemail in years, it seems. But perhaps I will after all this, just to find out what's going on. So, welcome to Bathroom Spears Broadsides. I'm going to begin by kind of reviewing the Sunday protest at Bookshop Santa Cruz, or I should say at the still public sidewalk in front of Bookshop Santa Cruz at 1520 Pacific Avenue in Santa Cruz. The Bookshop Santa Cruz is a fine locally owned bookshop from which I've been banned since 1994, but one that is used by a lot of folks who want to make purchases. I actually used to recommend boycotting the bookshop, and we have been doing that again because one of the chief workers there, Ryan Coonerty, and the owner, Neil Coonerty, are big backers of the anti-homeless law, the sleeping ban ordinance in Santa Cruz, which is a municipal code, which the city council could change at its upcoming council meeting if it wanted to do so. But, of course, it has, as far as I know, no intention of that. That's a code that makes it illegal for a person to sleep outside or in a vehicle, even though tonight there's space for 40 people and 1,500 to 2,000 bodies out there in the city limit without a legal place to stay, that is, say, a homeless, officially homeless. So it's obviously absurd to be ticketing those people with $95 tickets, which the police issue about 60 a month if you combine police and Parks and Rec ranger figures, probably increased with the increase in the Parks and Rec goon squad slash police department cleanup crews running through the Poganip under the tutelage of Chief Ranger John Wallace and Sergeant Warren Berry. Again, I haven't got a lot of recent stats. I've put in a public records request at the police station to find out how many citations they've been issuing lately and what they've been up to. And hopefully we'll get some word on that in the next few days. They're supposed to respond within 10 days to a Public Records Act request. And, in fact, the police department hasn't been bad about this. The courts, on the other hand, are a completely different story. Those of you who have been following our attempt to get sleeping ban records from last year on homeless people, that is, what happens to a homeless person when she or he is dragged into court for the crime of sleeping, or also a crime, covering up with a blanket after 11 o'clock at night, even if you're not asleep, on any public property and much private property, or in your own vehicle, even if it is properly parked. That's a $95 fine. Actually, it's gone up to $97, according to the latest word from the homeless table. I guess that's what I used to call it. I guess I'm not sure what we're going to call it this time, but it was the demonstration protest table. Well, we had a number of things were happening in front of Bookshop Santa Cruz last Sunday. It was our third week of tabling there as we spread the word among the homeless community and the housed community that we are gathering plaintiffs for a lawsuit, a federal lawsuit against the sleeping ban law that will kind of mirror what is happening in Los Angeles and San Diego, where such lawsuits have been successful. The one in Los Angeles, via the courts themselves, and the other in San Diego by settlement after they saw the Los Angeles decision, the so-called Jones decision of April before last. And Richmond has changed its law. That's liberal Richmond up north. It's not very liberal, really. Well, I guess it has a larger African-American population than we do, which might or might not make it more liberal. But apparently it has a Green Party mayor. And in that case, it might have made a difference, unlike our own one-time Green Party mayor, Tim Fitzmaurice. Tinker Toy Tim, as some might have called him. He was a guy who's he likes to write poetry, but his responses to homeless needs is far from poetic, mainly supporting the police department and arresting the activists when they try to challenge the policies that he put into place when he was mayor. So, we did protests on Sunday against that for a third week. We gathered signatures for the lawsuit. We had some food donated by the Safe Singers, I guess you call them. Safe is Society for Artistic Freedom and Expression, or Street Performers Against Foolish Enforcement. They were strumming and playing. And Ryan Coonerty did not take us up on our offer to join us and give us an education on why we were barking up the wrong tree by suggesting that it should be legal for homeless people to sleep somewhere in Santa Cruz. He just didn't come out to talk about it. Understandably, I'm not sure how anybody with a straight face, with the exception of Mike Rutkin, could possibly defend this position publicly. It's a ridiculous position. And it's based upon the notion that some people are either subhuman, don't need sleep, or it's legitimate to eliminate an entire class of people from town. None of these positions, to me, make much sense in the 21st century. Although, of course, if you're living in Darfur and they're eliminating masses of African-Americans or driving them out to resettle Arabs there, I guess it makes a lot of sense there. Or if, you're engaging in other myriad activities, whether it's on the West Bank or in Iraq. I mean, I guess, ethnic cleansing or social cleansing has its place in a modern world, but not, as far as I'm concerned, in the Santa Cruz I know about. Also with us in the studio, let me get my tongue in hand here, also with us in the studio is Linda LeMaster, who's the chair of the former Homeless Issues Task Force, or actually the Homeless Icky Task Farce, as I used to call it jovially, as I would chide poor Linda on her thankless role as, titular head of a group that essentially was a protective cover for Mayor Byers and Mayor Sugar back at the turn of the millennium when they were acting like they were doing something about homeless issues, but actually doing quite the opposite, ignoring, stonewalling, succumbing to police pressure and conservative merchant activity. Hi, Linda. Welcome to Free Radio.
Thank you, Robert. I think I'd rather be an expert witness than a titular head when it's coming from a man with his tongue in his hand.
I don't know if the audience is going to properly interpret that comment.
Well, but, there isn't a proper.
I'll hold my tongue if I can. You've done more recent work on homeless activities, and you actually are part of the continuum of carelessness, as I call it, or the consortium of crabbiness, or the poverty pimp gang that's grabbing money under the 10-year plan to, I love it, end homelessness. Actually, it's to give more jobs for upper middle class bureaucrats. What's it called, the continuum of care?
The HUD federal government's housing and urban development name for it is continuum of care. And all the territory where people are who are homeless all over the United States have to have this entity that plugs into the continuum of care if they want to get any of the federal dollars that Congress is digging out of subsidized housing for people who aren't yet homeless but are poor, among other things like the war, and putting it into this let's rescue them just before they die program. I don't mean to be as critical as I think you feel toward the continuum of care and its various local faces, but I also agree with your sort of bottom line analysis.
Well, I know you're also writing an article on the Craig Canada.
I have to finish it.
The Craig Canada trial. Well, I'm not saying you're going to finish it. That's another story, but I know you've done some writing. I've seen your rough draft. I like it. Craig Canada, for those of you who don't know, is an activist who got 4 sleeping tickets over the course of the last half year. And he
probably
successfully went to trial and was the tickets were all dismissed by Judge Deneen Guy after he disqualified referee Kim Basket, which is the normal referee who hears infractions. using the so-called necessity defense. The defense says that if you have to do it, even if it's illegal, you can do it if you can show it was a greater evil was being avoided. Hard defense usually to prove, and it was proved, although the question is kind of, some people have suggested, why don't we give out little folders to people, little flyers saying, this is how you do the necessity defense, go into court and do it. And that's not a bad idea, except that, you know, the courts are now, in fact, letting you, at least in the court of Kim Basket, who I don't recommend people go to usually, but I did yesterday when the Huff meeting came up, because she apparently is, if all you have is a sleeping ticket, if you have no other citations, then she is, at least this summer, before they start claiming there's space in the armory, when of course there isn't, then she will dismiss your citation. So it's a quicker trip to go in there, even though she's engaging in unconstitutional practices, not informing people of their rights, crediting police testimony over that of homeless plaintiffs and individual plaintiffs. Nonetheless,
that's not unusual.
In spite of all that, I didn't say it was unusual. I said it was inappropriate. And even though all that, it's, if you bring in a letter, you know, from the Homeless Service Center, then she'll dismiss your citation, as will referee, or I should say Judge Deneen Guy. And also, we'll find out if Judge Paul Maragonda, who is the judge in Department 2, does the same as we roll down the road. In any case, what I was about to play when you came in, Linda, was a some tape around the sleeping ban protest, kind of a continuing tabling activity that we have in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz every week. It'll be there. It'll be there again this week, 2 o'clock on Sunday. And the bookshop Santa Cruz right downtown on Pacific Avenue. Most people know where it is. I was pointing out that the reason we're there is because it's owned by the Coonerties, at least by Neil Coonerty, and it's certainly, it's the lair, so to speak, the work lair of Ryan Coonerty, who's a lawyer and the vice mayor of Santa Cruz, who's a big supporter of the sleeping ban, and he's also the kind of the council's point person on deflecting criticism of their homeless policy.
Well, he certainly works there, too. Ryan certainly works there, too, whether he's on the payroll or not, because
he's on the payroll, I'm told.
Okay.
He says.
He actually, I've seen him introducing their book show for John Robbins' new book, How to Live to Be 100 or something.
Maybe
like
he was a guest introducer. But, in fact, he actually did call me back and verify that his sister and his father, his sister runs the store, his father owns the store. Sheila Coonerty, who's chair of the downtown commission and vice chair of the local ACLU or co-chair of the ACLU, is not connected with Bookshop Santa Cruz. But Ryan himself, though he doesn't own anything in the Bookshop Santa Cruz, is in fact a worker there. And possibly, it wasn't quite clear, a supervisor of workers. So anyway, I wanted to clear that up because an employee from the bookshop came out and started denouncing us for calling for a boycott of the bookshop, saying that, you know, we were unfairly tarring the bookshop with the sins of the Coonerties. And my response to that was, why don't you repudiate the sins of the Coonerties? You know, wear a label on your shirt that says, I support ending the sleeping ban, decriminalize homelessness. If I see enough employees doing that, I will encourage people to buy books at the Bookshop Santa Cruz and at the same time to write a nasty note to Ryan Coonerty and demand an appointment. He's also going to be, or likely to be, mayor in November. So he is on the track to be not that the mayor has a lot of power in Santa Cruz, but the mayor does set the city council agenda, which is coming up again this Tuesday for those of you who are really masochistic. It's going to be the last city council meeting for about 6 weeks. They all go on recess, letting their police do the dirty work throughout August and early September. I guess you didn't get down to the protest in front of the Coonerty Bookshop.
No, I haven't been to one yet. But I wanted to ask you, are you still persona non gratis in the Bookshop Santa Cruz? They have had an opinion for a long time about how they want the downtown streets that doesn't take poor people into account.
Well, as I mentioned, actually mentioned before you came in, I am, in fact, banned from the bookstore. I mean, I don't know. I haven't walked up to Neil recently and said, what say we sit down and have a cup of coffee. In fact, the last thing I said to him was, he walked by about a week ago when Neil Coonerty, the elder Coonerty, who's currently supervisor of our district, or I guess it's hard to say which Santa Cruz actually makes up 3 or 4 different districts. It's kind of a strange.
But a big chunk of Santa Cruz City
is
and
Neil
a lot
Coonerty.
Of the North Coast and most of UCSC to speak.
It is Neil Coonerty's district in that respect. Anyway, he came by our little protest, and I said, Neil, come over and talk to us about the book, this sleeping ban. And he scowled and looked down at the sidewalk. So it could be that he still holds me in the highest respect, but just at that time was not prepared to make a public statement. And so I continued to say, wait, there goes the supervisor. Wait, everybody stop and ask this man. I mean, I wanted to give him an opportunity to be known and acknowledged for the supervisor that he is. And for some reason, Neil Coonerty declined to pause, declined to chat with homeless people nearby who were kind of, you know, making indications they wanted to talk to him. But he was probably too busy. It was a Sunday. He was probably off to do something else. Though he seemed to be come into the bookstore, and then about a half an hour later, he came out. Anyway, we're going back there again this Sunday in 4 days. In fact, this may become a traditional activity, sort of like the useless peace protest against the war that happens every Friday at Water and Ocean Streets.
And why do you consider it useless?
Because the war is still going on.
And nobody's honking their horns anymore?
I don't know. But, I mean, it looks pretty sad. I know that, I mean, I think a lot of, you might say the homeless protests are useless because we still have the sleeping ban. Although, I mean, we have something a little new coming up here, which has to do with a lawsuit, you know, and that we're going to be working on that issue. And in fact, that is one of the prime reasons that we are, in fact, doing the tabling at the Bookshop Santa Cruz, is to get plaintiffs. And we are getting plaintiffs aplenty. The last I heard from Kate Wells, and who's an attorney involved, and Becky Johnson, sort of the key activist on the sleeping ban legal committee, we have 27 potential plaintiffs. And the plaintiffs are, of course, the people who would be suing the city in federal court, saying, hey there, don't arrest me for sleeping. They don't do it in L.A. They don't do it in San Diego. They don't do it in Richmond. What makes you so progressively special? What, is it got, are the woods of Santa Cruz so pristine that you're not going to allow a homeless person to lay down his or her head? Is the power of the police department so strong that you aren't willing to stop unconstitutional practices here in Santa Cruz? Anyway, that's what we're going to be asking. And this weekend, I think we're going to be having some special events. In fact, we did vote, at the last Huff meeting, and Huff meets every Wednesday morning for all you potential Huffsters. Come on down to the county building, you know, at 9:30 in the morning, and we'll sit around and drink coffee and, you know, get all perky with each other. That's in the breezeway between the courts and the county building, right near the coffee cart and right outside the metal detector, in case you've got some metal to be detected. Anyway, we decided that at this we're going to be having a sleepout at City Hall. I know, you've heard it before. We're going to be having a sleepout at City Hall. I haven't done that in a while, where we all kind of, you know, pitch our tents or just lie down or, you know, who knows. Maybe we'll just sort of walk around sleepwalking on the grass there at City Hall, with the understanding that there are no legal places for homeless people to sleep on that night. That's going to be 2 weeks from this Sunday. And we're kind of hoping that we can get the city council to join us. We're going to invite them to come on down and just kind of get a taste of what it's like to be homeless. I mean, every homeless people have many a time invited the city council, sometimes publicly at the mics of the city council during oral communications, to come on down and get a feeling for what it's like to try to walk through a day without, you know, in their shoes, or let's say maybe in their socks without shoes, whatever the momentary situation is. We're also going to be, we may be actually having a film out there, showing a film at the, or two, if we can get the Guerrilla Theater interested. And all kinds of prospects are kind of raising their peculiar heads. And indeed, this Sunday, I'm hoping we can arrange a debate with Ryan Coonerty, but not expecting him to show up. I think I myself may have to play the role of Ryan Coonerty and make the arguments that he, I imagine, has made before and will make again in claiming that we just can't give these homeless people rights because it would only encourage them to be homeless. So we want to give them a kick up. I mean, a lift up rather than, you know, throw them down in the mire. Also in the studio with us now, for the first time in some months, a rare reappearance. A poor woman I've been harassing mercilessly, and what we continue to harass to the discomfiture of other free radio broadcasters, is activist Anita Henry. Is looking a little tired, but is still hanging in there. Anita, you can use that mic, or you can use the other mic. Take
no, this is just fine. It is good to see you again, Robert, and hello, Linda. I actually saw you today, Linda, down by the post office. I was getting in my car, and I wanted to say hello, but you were too quick. but I recognize you because you're wearing the green shorts.
Anita is an expert on, as well as a worker who has been supplying medical marijuana to people for over a decade. Is that fair to say?
11 years.
And a foster child and a survivor.
And so I think that you're welcome to be here. Anyway, I know that you've occasionally been sending me emails about the latest federal bust, whether it's Bakersfield or, and I've been sending you back emails. Yeah, but what about the local scene? What's happening with Bob Lee and his persecution of local folks? What's happening with profiteering by local clubs? What's happening with police abuse on the street of medical marijuana users? That interests me more than the latest ASA bulletin, Americans for Safe Action bulletin, but I'm also interested in that.
Well, it's actually Americans for Safe Access, and it's all very relevant and meaningful because what they're doing can, you know, come and happen in our town anytime, as liberal and tolerant as I think the city council and board of supervisors have been, seeing that they did join that federal lawsuit with WHAM that just this past week or a week or two ago just went to court, and I think they're going to have a written decision probably within 30 days.
If only their own police weren't harassing our local medical marijuana users, such as Craig Canada, I would tend to agree with you that they're great liberals. You know?
Well, you know what's interesting? You're asking me, like, what's happening with Bob Lee? What's happening with profiteering at the dispensaries?
Emily Riley, our mayor.
You know what? I don't care anymore at this point.
You
and I don't usually say that, but I'm gonna
say that.
You know
Anita.
Why? Because I can spin my wheels and spin my wheels and spin my wheels, and I was sworn in down at the City Hall.
Measure K.
Oversight. Actually on May 2nd, and I have yet to hear one word from them. They've never called me. They've never written me to tell me if anybody else has applied. The only way I know what's happening is through emails from Americans for Safe Access and the Marijuana Policy Project. I'm involved statewide, really.
Have they talked about Santa Cruz at all, the ASA?
No, nothing. No. They never talk about Santa Cruz anymore now that... Well, they did mention, of course, WHAM and the lawsuit, which, because, you know, they just went to federal court last week, I believe. But other than that, there is no action. There's nothing really happening down here. Everybody's gotten very complacent now that the dispensaries are opened. There's this facade that Measure K was passed, that, you know, the police are no longer bothering people, that people are feeling free, you know, to medicate themselves or recreate themselves, whatever we want to, you know, with however.
Whoop it up, man.
Whatever terminology we want to use. But other than that, I haven't been very involved in local politics because I've been, one, shunned by the people that are the movers in the
I don't shun you, Anita.
Well, not
in fact,
you. I'm
you
talking
might say
about.
I was actually a greater distance from you.
I was actually going to say, Rob, by the movers and the shakers in this town. For example, Lisa and Greenway, or Ken and Santa Cruz Patients Collective. I've yet to hear from either of them. And how long have they been open?
Well, Lisa's been open for about at least a year, years, actually.
The only thing that I know, like I said,
year
is the information I get from Americans for Safe Access and for the Marijuana Policy Project, which is out of Washington, and Americans for Safe Access is up in Northern California. And I get a lot of things from California Normal.
No, I'm interested in what they do, but I also...
I don't know what the DA is actually doing here. I have to watch my own ass. I've learned how to behave, how to cope, and how to exist in this town.
Well,
thank God I'm not homeless.
Yeah. That's what homeless people in the street will tell me when I say, we have to stand up together to fight this bullshit. They say, I'm fighting my own small war over here. I can't help you. And it's hard for me to say.
Well, you know,
You're not going to win your small war,
Robert, and you should know that at our age, we're like, I don't know how old you are, I'm approaching 60. There are many battles to choose from. Oh, you're old. Yeah,
well,
let him be over 60.
I'm 60 in several months. But
okay, very
let's not
good.
Get
you're
into
60.
That.
Okay, fine. You're older than
I'm
me.
I'm still
that's
available.
That's all that matters.
I'm exciting. I'm attractive. Well,
we're all old.
We're all
it's
available.
True.
Age cannot wither him, nor custom stale his infinite variety.
That's a gender issue. That's another topic.
Indeed. We can get into that. But,
let's not get off track. What were we talking
about? I want to reply to what you're saying, because Measure K actually is something I looked into. You're looking at a paper now which describes the latest.
This is the most information I have seen.
Right.
That's why there's a facade of action.
You're looking
in this
at a
town.
Page which lists the names of the applicants, which they first did not want to give me. They claimed it was confidential information.
I haven't even been able to get it.
But I
was
able
to
secure the names, a list of the names, at a cost of 25 cents a page, of course.
Oh, yeah, they asked you.
And I also asked Tina Scholl. Tina, I'm not sure what Tina's last name is. She is the staff person.
I've never seen this, Robert.
For the Measure K Oversight Committee. Now, I've got to point out to you, the Oversight Committee has been, they're attempting to strip it of its most important power. The Oversight Committee, its main purpose of the Oversight Marijuana Committee is to watch the police department and monitor the fact, well, they're supposed to design a form. I don't know what the fuck that's all about.
Well, let's backtrack a little. Let's go to what we voted on and what actually Measure K is for those listeners. And hopefully there are listeners out there and you will call in with some questions or comments.
Right, but what I'm trying to say is that Measure K has been challenged in court. The proponents of Measure K, as the proponents of a similar measure in Santa Barbara, have been sued by the city to stop the Oversight Committee from overseeing the police department and verifying that they are, in fact, following Measure K. When they give out a citation, they can't give it to a person. Well, they can give it, they can cite anybody they want, but it's supposed to be the lowest priority. And it's supposed to be only, you know, if you're using marijuana in
private.
Well,
you can't beat the ride, but you can beat the rap. That's something I've been hearing that term lately. You can't beat the ride. But you can beat the rap.
That has to do with medical marijuana. I think with recreational.
Well, Measure K has nothing to do with medical.
That's the point. The beat the ride but not beat the rap has to do with medical marijuana, not with recreational marijuana. Recreational marijuana is criminal by state law and I presumably by federal law. But the Santa Cruz voters have said, lay the fuck off people in private. Consenting adults who are using marijuana on private property,
18 and older,
adults are not. Are something you should make your lowest priority. That doesn't mean if they decide to come in, they can't, you know, convict you of using marijuana, possessing marijuana. But it tries to tell them, not only are you not supposed to do that unless you have nothing else to do, and the more police we have, of course, the more idle time they have on their hands, but you're not supposed to do it without documenting it. You're supposed to present documentation.
Well, are you saying that the police have a lot of idle time on their hands?
I'm saying that the more police we have, the more likely there are going to be doing these kinds of bogus drug busts.
Oh, my God.
Busts.
We need more police in this town, Robert. There is a great need for law enforcement
in this town. But not for bogus drug busts.
No, not for bogus. But
Well, you have to examine, and as a Measure K person, I'm sure that you will look into the fact of what percentage of the busts in Santa Cruz are drug busts.
Now, well, that's why I wanted to get on this.
But what you're going to be told, of course, is that's none of your business if it's in public because Measure K only covers private situations. I would say to you, no, look at what's in public as well, because if they're spending a huge amount of money on drug busts, whether it's public or private, and not any money on investigating rapes, for example, we need to know about that.
I agree, but let's not over-sensationalize.
This thing about private use.
Yeah, I don't remember really the word private.
That's Measure K. That's the wording of
Measure
K.
But at the same time, Robert, I don't believe the police are going to be going around harassing people. Not to say that if you have a group of several people sitting at the park, San Lorenzo Park, and they're sitting there and smoking marijuana, that maybe the police perhaps should go up and remove them.
Right.
I think the park should be for families and for children, and there is a proper place to recreate and to medicate. That's how
the
I don't
should,
think it should be flaunted.
Hey, the park
I don't
should
think
be for everybody.
Should,
unless people
the
are,
park
are behaving
is for everybody.
In an abusive,
it's a public park.
Well, then the idea of using the presence of marijuana or alcohol, provided it's not being abused, as a pretext for harassing people is bullshit.
Well, you're working
like
on
to
the...
I say some bullshit, too, in here. You know, when we were in court a week ago Friday...
Uh-huh.
The judge recessed the whole trial so that the defendant could refresh himself. I think everyone in the room, including the bailiff, understood what she meant. So why can't you take care of yourself if that's, you know, your medicine, or if you're not interrupting someone else's space, as my son taught me to use, personal space? Why wouldn't that be legal? I mean,
why wouldn't what be legal in here?
If the whole gist of the thing is to deprioritize that being what the police
are. Well, it's legal if the judge does it, I'll tell you that. It's just, you got to be a
judge
first.
Yeah, we did.
She even got a policeman to recant his testimony and say something that supported the evidence.
In fact, however, the same judge, I'm sure, sends people to jail or to a community service for very small possession of marijuana offenses. I believe I've been there when she
You know,
does
that's
it,
what I love about
sure
the I love the yin and yang in, about that, about you
it's
and
actually,
I, Robert, is that you see the glass half empty and I see it half full because you're majority of the majority of your time is, you know, is probably witnessing and hearing and taking testimony of things like this that happens, whereas the majority of the time that I spend isn't witnessing that.
Well, again, getting back to the Measure K matter, yeah, which I actually just pulled up Measure K on the ballot.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm working on the assumption that they're not going to be out there. Thank you.
Measure K will make adult personal marijuana use the lowest law enforcement priority for the Santa Cruz Police Department. It will allow Santa Cruz, this is actually kind of, this is a vague statement. Actually, well, personal is not clear. Is it public or is it private? It's, I know it's private because I read it before, but I have to.
I really don't remember the word private. Actually.
Here's the full text of the initiative. Frequently asked questions. Measure K will make private adult marijuana offenses the lowest law enforcement priority for the Santa Cruz Police Force. It also requests the city clerk send letters annually to state and federal elected representatives urging reform of the marijuana laws. Each city council member will appoint a city resident to serve on the Voluntary Community Oversight Committee, welcome Anita Henry, that is responsible for monitoring marijuana arrests. I should say that Tina tells me there are no meetings scheduled.
There's nothing. I went and took an oath and had to read a paragraph. I felt so freaking patriotic when I took the oath. I just couldn't wait for them
I've
to call me up.
I've got an oath for them, I'll tell you.
And get started on this, and they have not been in touch with me.
Well, Anita, you need to throw a press conference and hold your own public meeting with members
of
the community.
No, I've just come to accept this is how Santa Cruz functions.
You're just accepting that.
No,
that's very nice.
You know,
in Iraq they're accepting bullets in the gut, and here accepting the continued criminalization of the drug war here in Santa Cruz.
And how I can be a hindrance and a problem, which is
good luck with Jim King.
Yeah, well... Is he on the?
Who is he? I don't know this Jim King. I don't know Eric
an
Rice.
Attorney.
They're both. It's both up by the university, so I can
don't
see
know him
all.
Either.
Okay, they're both are exclusive true. Neighborhoods.
Okay, let me read
King
this.
And Rice, and the other one, Liberty Street, I think is in the
okay,
flats.
We have what the kind of the strange dialogue you're hearing that actually doesn't really tell you anything about what we're talking about. But I'm
well, they're the neighborhoods they live
elucidate.
In. I thought
there
I would,
are
I would
four
mention.
People who have been appointed to the Measure K committee. One of them is Anita Henry, who's in the
poor
studio,
disabled lives
studio
in the ghetto
with us, and a medical marijuana provider with MedX.
Patient.
For patients and not for all you potheads out there, for God's sake. James King is, of course, a superannuated residue of another era who, I guess, he used to spend his... I think he was on the Citizens Police Review Board at one time.
Is he an older man?
He's still on those kind of shelters, on boards.
No, the Citizens Police
anymore.
Review Board.
Right,
I think
but
he was
I'm
on,
saying that...
Is he an older man,
the Homeless
Robert?
Services Center...
Yeah, he's an older
who is
guy.
Him?
I don't know
he's
any.
He's you know, he's a conservative fellow who
really.
I found
well, it makes you wonder why people
respects,
want it to get on. That's why I'm anxious for the
but
first
we
meeting.
We have a caller. We're going to go to the caller.
Good. I'm glad people are listening.
You're on Free Radio with the Talkative Three, Robert, Linda, and Anita. Hello. Hello.
Hello, everybody. Allie Smith tuning in. It's nice to hear Anita's voice. Sorry, I just tuned in, but I wanted to let you know that Liberty Street happens to be where Mike Rockin lives. It's on the west side.
Yeah, Linda just told me that. I actually
123 Liberty is his address.
Yeah, so all three of them live over on the west side. Very exclusive by the university. I can just imagine what their politics are. But since I don't know any
houses.
Of them, I'm
going
to have
to... progressives. Try to look at the glasses half full, Anita, okay?
Robert, please don't be sarcastic. I don't want to have to come over there and sit on your lap.
Ooh, mama.
Aileen, thank you for calling in. It is good to hear your voice.
Well, I have an announcement of PSA to make.
Go ahead.
Does not surprise me.
Okay, everybody.
That is your function. We love that about you.
Michael Hathaway started, Friday, July 27th. I invite everybody listening to come at 7 p.m. to the wonderful ongoing Wired Wash Cafe open mic. And this July 27th, Friday, will feature a wonderful, interesting, unique fellow who lives with his 30 cats in Kansas and is a poet, and he's published a magazine of 81 issues and many books, and he will be there, and I invite everybody to come here, Michael Hathaway, and enjoy the open mic as well and partake thusly. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. I think Anita has a question for
you. I just
you.
Wanted to make a comment. I also heard that the Wired Wash has taken out the back part of their washers and dryers, and they're opening a hookah bar, the owner was telling me.
Bar?
Yeah, they're going to have large hookah pipes, and they're going to be selling mango-flavored tobaccos and peach-flavored. I don't know how successful.
Oxygen?
It will. No, I didn't hear of any oxygen, but they are, and I just can't imagine pushing this tobacco. They're allowing this hookah bar to open, and they're going to let people come in and pay to sit there with their friends and smoke.
Well, there's already another one that's already established, and
right
plus
by
there's
the town
one that went out of business.
I know. It's just that's why I say
stupid.
The politics in this town
the
is so crazy.
No, it's not politics. It's people, private enterprises.
Hey, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye. And again, that's July 27th, 7 p.m., Wired Wash Cafe, open mic, and
Michael Hathaway is this poet with 30 cats, you mentioned.
Oh, great. Well, you know, bring your putty with you.
Or your doggy.
So, call-in number, in case you want to call in and ask questions or make comments of any of us, is 427-3772. As I was saying before Anita and actually even before Linda showed up, we're having a weekly protest at the Bookshop Santa Cruz in order to gather public support for, well, both the sleeping ban lawsuit, a federal lawsuit that kind of will essentially use the arguments successfully used in Los Angeles, that wins Los Angeles. I don't see why I can't win in Santa Cruz. We have the same emergency shelter shortage. We have the same hypocritical rhetoric from mayors who will claim to be liberal but are actually extremely repressive and sort of for using Okie legislation, as it's been described, you know, the legislation to keep out people that used to come from Oklahoma in the 30s is now being used to drive out homeless people with impossible demands on their right to sleep at night, their right to use public spaces.
Hey, look, Giuliani did it in New York, and look how successful he was.
There
He's going to run for president now,
yeah,
and that's
well,
exactly...
Now,
he made his reputation, really, before 9/11.
Well, there you are. For all of you anti-homeless folks looking to make a reputation,
yeah,
come to Santa Cruz. It could be a real opportunity for you. And I actually...
I'd like to interject, too. Mm-hmm. I think the reason that you don't see is because there's a different citizen will going on in L.A. Everybody on all the different class strata are concerned because there's so much homelessness in certain neighborhoods. Everybody. So the people that see themselves as enemies or adversaries in that system are actually looking for a solution together.
I think that's
a
bunch of...
We're not like that here.
No,
that's against a bullshit.
Linda, that's nonsense. Linda, that's nonsense. In fact, in Los Angeles, the city council rejected a proposed settlement that would have actually, you know, resolved the issue, although it wouldn't have given the home. It would have actually done a number of negative things, but it would have given the homeless a small skid row area, which the court has declared, regardless of the fact the city hasn't accepted the settlement, to be their place to sleep at night if they want to sleep. They got their own little ghetto to sleep in.
Thanks,
but the
Judge.
But the Los Angeles community did not want to do that, and at least the Los Angeles politicians didn't want to do it. So I don't think the Los Angeles politicians there. I think that one thing you got to say about Los Angeles, because it's a bigger city, it has more activists, you know, as a total number of the entire population than we do here.
There are
so many rich.
Well,
you're talking about activists like street people or activists because they're so rich?
No, I'm talking about people who want to engage in civil,
the world,
in civil
or
rights
they want to save
activity,
their neighborhood.
You know, downtown, who want to restore civil rights to the streets of Los Angeles.
Then they start talking about they have to build the economy and...
No, I'm talking about the activists who will be doing the kind of stuff I will be doing on the streets, such as, for example, denouncing stores that discriminate against homeless people. And actually, you're going to be hearing some tape about that in just a moment, and I'd like to get your opinion on some of that. Linda, you're looking a little restless. Are you?
It's just chronic pain.
Oh, wow. Well, that's the problem.
I do feel a little shut out, but that's probably a little paranoid.
No, well, perhaps not. You never can tell, being the... control freak sexist that I am here in the studio.
But there's two of us to one of you, so
I was
I'm
say,
not
well,
worried.
But you're sharing one mic. You got to look at it that way.
And we like it like that.
And, well, yes. Okay. Well, you know, if you want to call in, let's get together, folks.
This is a great show. You'll see, your listeners.
Yes, or perhaps you'll hear if we get really graphic. 427-3772.
Yeah, and there are so many topics
the
we can
to
talk
call
about,
in.
Robert. I know you're so into the homeless issue because you're Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, but there's so much to talk about
either
on
caller.
This platform.
We have you can talk to Anita about a number of topics. What's your topic, caller?
Hello, this is Quatora Cummings, and Linda, I have chronic pain now in my right hip from my kickstart on my motorbike.
Oh,
and we miss you at the Quaker Friends meeting. Over and out.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Now,
it's
I don't
to know. It's good to know someone's listening.
It's good to know people are listening. I don't want people doing what we call a...
I miss my friends, too.
Yes. Well, I'm glad that, you know, remember, personal messages, I suppose, have their place. But I encourage people to call on the issues because that's what my program is about. I'm trying to get some focus on the when will, for example, Anita push the Measure K matter. It appears that Anita isn't interested in pushing the Matter K
matter. Well, I'm looking at this piece of paper, and it looks like there are three men and myself.
Right.
On this committee. So there are three conservative men that live on the west side. And
I wouldn't call Jim King a conservative like Robert did. Not that I have anything really fine to say about him either, but...
What do you know about the other people?
I think he's kind of like a Catholic worker kind of guy.
He's only one, though. What do you know about the other?
I don't know. I think I'm sorry.
That's okay. What do you know about the other two folk?
I don't know. I may
have met
Mary True, but I don't remember.
I don't know anything about the other two. I know that Thomas Levitt, who applied, as you can see from that list, didn't make it.
Was not appointed.
And I know that the city is suing to have this entire committee completely defanged.
So, they may do that.
So I suggestion to you is if this committee really interests you that you maybe hold a press conference or issue a public statement denouncing this lawsuit and asking how much money the city is spending, wasting taxpayer money to oppose the actual vote, the initiative vote of the people who said, we want this commission instead.
I don't understand why these people haven't been appointed. It looks like there are several people that have applied.
Well, there are more have been appointed. Well, obviously,
is it full?
The reason that they haven't been appointed is because council members don't want to appoint them. So they don't like the rest of the names. Or they haven't found the ideal person, or they don't particularly want the committee to start acting.
Didn't you just say the city's
going to
sue?
That's kind of the feeling I get, Robert.
However,
I kind of have a feeling that's what it is.
Yeah.
I really don't know.
However, I think the committee has a quorum, so you now may begin to act regardless, and I encourage you to do so. And I think if you get lost in the committee structure, you lose out. I think you have to use the committee as a platform for access to a broader community. And I know that you're not the most healthy person in terms of your energy and you're not as well as you could be. So the fact of the matter is you may not have the stamina to do a lot of stuff. But I think one of the reasons I always tell people when they say, why don't you run for city council is we don't have the adequate staff background. You're going to have, the staff is going to be working against you. They're going to be saying, well, your committee is already being sued legally, let's wait and see. And, of course, Tina hasn't done diddly squat. Obviously, I talked to her yesterday.
Then how the hell could they have joined this lawsuit against the feds? I don't fucking get it. This is why
Because this is about the local police department, which is sacrosanct. It's perfectly okay to criticize the federal government, but don't do anything to criticize the local power structure.
Well, how will we know what the police are doing if there's no oversight committee? They got rid of the Citizens
Bingo.
Police Review Board.
You don't need to. You just go over and you put your arm around the police chief, Howard Scarry, and you say, please tell us we're not spying on political protesters. And he'll say, we're not, and everything will be okay.
We do have the Patriot Act.
Linda.
You have to assert yourself when I'm here with Robert.
Yeah, it's worth it for both of you.
Oh, what is it,
I think, Anita, you're not going to be able to make sense out of these blatant contradictions. And I don't know when Robert started using the idea of sacrosanct, but I agree with him that the people on the city council, as a majority and speaking as a whole, are afraid to deal with the city's police department directly. They're afraid that the police are one of the few city employees who are organized enough to spit back, or as it were, I don't mean necessarily sue their boss, but... You know,
from what I know about this city, and I moved here in 86, there are so many issues that are so much bigger and so much more important than the smoking of marijuana. Like
but
abuse
the issue,
and
the
rape
issue,
the
issue
and
Anita,
crime.
The issue of police
housing.
Power, Anita, is much more important than any of these issues, frankly, because if you have
so
police...
So it was in the
have,
beginning, and so shall it be in the end,
If
Robert.
You have police power that is misused, then you don't get the other issues addressed.
I don't know about
That's
it.
That's the
why
point.
Is it misused?
You don't,
it's misused.
I don't
have you ever heard the name Officer Lauren Baker or Butchie Ooh. Baker?
I do remember that, yes,
okay.
when I was on the Women's Commission.
Yeah,
well,
you may remember that. I'm not even going to fight with you about this, Nina, because you and I disagree.
That
you like the police.
I think you like
the way the police department is operating. I think it's deplorable. So there's a difference of opinion.
I'd like to say that both of those are valid points of view. The point is...
And Linda likes to be on all sides at the same time.
Fuck you, Robert.
It's good to be a me. That's good to
I'm
be
never on all sides. I can't even keep my memories
depending
in
depending on who's speaking at the moment,
But... I have something different to say, and you can't put on the
Please,
side.
Please go ahead.
Of an
say what you want to say.
This is
free radio,
this is
Santa
people
Cruz.
Trying to be free.
So go ahead. What do you want to say, Linda?
The point is that the city doesn't have a popular backing, or they'd have the guts, pardon the sexism, to stand up to the police.
The
department.
City doesn't have a popular. You mean the city
the
council?
The city council, who represents everyone in Santa Cruz, and won't talk to the police chief about anything people who are citizens bring to him is a wussy problem,
I think
and
you're
it'll
making
change.
This one up again.
It'll the same way it did when the sitting ban was passed. It will change if 400 students gallop down the hill and say, stop this. It will change within a week.
Well, I think
I think the citizens wake up, why would the council members?
I think you're right, Linda, that it would change. But the fact of the matter is the city council is never going to do anything because it's not elected out of mass movements or out of real popular constituencies. You know, small clubs of people find, you know, like SCAN, which is a small club, and actually it's getting very weak now, or Lynn Robinson's new downtown neighbors group. They, you know, they get together and they pick some people together, and then they elect them by dumping a lot of money in their direction. It's somewhat similar to the way national candidates are elected. And
no,
so I agree with you.
So
you just don't need to fight with each other because we actually agree with fighting. We agree with each other that the fact of the matter is you're not going to get action to reform or radically deal with the problems that the police department has institutionally because.
You know why? Because the majority of people don't suffer under that thumb, Robert.
No.
The fucking people in Santa Cruz have such a false sense of entitlement.
Well, I think that there's some
people safety. Safety, security, privilege.
The real truth is that the police department is very well entrenched. It also has allies in the city manager's office, the city attorney's office. It has a series of institutionally well-paid individuals.
Do you believe we have budget problems, Robert?
It has people in positions of power who will remain there for the next decade who have been there for the last two decades.
They were elected.
No, they weren't. The city manager was appointed.
No,
so
I'm talking about
I'm talking
council.
About the people who are really in positions of power. The people who stay when the city council leaves.
But it's a default power.
Those are the people who need to be held to account and who are not being held to account. And I would love it if we would stop bickering with each other on the air and hold those people to account, because that's what we need to do. That's what your commission needs to do.
Can't talk about it. Three people who already like each other can't talk about it on a free radio station. How do you expect the citizenry in general to wake up?
We're talking about it, so I don't catch your point.
From what I get when I'm out there, they're not interested in most of the issues that you talk about, Robert, because they're not affected by them. They're self-centered, self-focused, overindulgent, and contribute to the sick society that we live in. They're not interested in compassion anymore.
Well,
Robert,
you know, I don't want to spend my time blaming people who aren't here. I want to hold people to account.
I'm not blaming
to
any
account,
particular person.
I want to hold people to account who are here or who are identifiable. For example, people who have adopted positions on commissions, or people who are the head of former commissions, or broadcasters
was
like.
Is that personal?
Yes. Or broadcasters like myself, who are, you know, have at least the power of the microphone. Our responsibility is to get some action on these issues, not to sit and if we believe in them, if we believe the police department is doing a fine job, then there's no need to. If we believe that Americans for Safe Access is covering the situation, or we should wait till the next meeting, then we should do that. Actually, Linda, I called you here, and I hope that you would talk about this recent census report.
Now you want to hear about it.
Well, I don't know. I think we want to move on. I mean, we can talk more about this issue, but it seems to me I was mainly bringing it up to point out that there is a quorum of the Measure K Commission. The Measure K Commission is still being challenged, and Anita's shaking her head that she hadn't heard about it, but there is a quorum. And you need to call your staff person and say, get the fuck going on the meeting. Now, frankly, I said this when we had Measure K people in the studio.
Can I have this?
No, but I can give you a copy of it.
Okay, well, maybe you say that on occasion. I
right.
Up
well,
no.
We have to get together after the
to
show
act,
to do it.
Then, no, don't hold that over my head and manipulate me. If you want me to act, you need to
Well, all you need to do, Anita, is call the people who are appointed to you, and they will give
That's
you copies of this.
That's what she wants it for.
The phone number of the city council is 420-5020. That's who you call.
I know that number, Robert. I want to know the other three people who were appointed, what council person appointed them, because that tells me a lot about just seeing that Porter, you know,
okay, well,
nominated
let's,
King tells
you know,
a lot.
I think you need to let go of this piece of paper. You need
Robert.
No. I keep this piece of paper because it's useful for me, but I'd be happy to give you a copy of it, as I said, and I don't see why.
When?
You can't I don't see why you can't call the city council and get a copy of it. You're on the commission.
I can do anything I want.
I know
but
you
can. I have
can.
A copy right
okay.
in front of me.
This is an interesting show. We're fighting
like
over a copy.
You sound like a bureaucrat, Robert. You sound like, oh, let's throw in a few
hoops. It's power and control. It's power and control.
No, I just expect people who are members of these commissions to do their own work, and I expect you to do your own work, and this is my work. I'm a volunteer,
and I do what I want to do.
Well, you may be a volunteer, but you volunteered to be on the commission. Anyway, let's.
But he offered to get you a copy, and it's up to you to make him remember to do it quickly, because...
Which means I have to make an appointment to see him. To me, that's manipulative.
No, you bug him on his phone. I hope everyone's listening. Just bug him on the Huff line.
I'm not making any call.
If anybody wants to call in and join this exciting discussion, it's 427-3772. I think what I'm going to do now is turn to a little street interview to give us a breathing space where I can beat these people about the head and shoulders.
Who's just been told are in the sleeping band wrap. Your name, sir?
My name is Mike.
And Mike, what's your impression? You've seen this sleep is not a crime chalked on the sidewalk, and see this table here in front of the bookshop. What's your impression?
My impression is that there should be a lot more shelters, larger shelters, more humane areas for people to sleep, because I think that people wouldn't choose to sleep on a park bench, that they would choose to sleep in a bed if that was available to them. Also, Section 8 should be opened up. It shouldn't be continuously blocked, and there shouldn't be long waiting lists. They should open up Section 8 to people who need affordable housing.
Thank you. Turning to slow speed. Talking with?
Austin.
And Austin, you just signed this petition that says legalize nighttime sleep for the homeless without shelter. You want these bums hanging around town?
I've got plenty of friends who are homeless. I've got people that I'm really close with who hang out up in Berkeley and are homeless up there. And I hear all of these stories about how they're being harassed constantly, and I think it's ridiculous. The sidewalk's a public property, and everybody has a right to be there.
That's what I think.
I agree with you completely, and that's exactly what I believe on it. So I think that if they're taxpayer-funded sidewalks, and people, even homeless people, support the taxes through whatever they happen to buy downtown or anywhere else in Santa Cruz, they have as much of a right to be here as anybody else. That, and it's frankly just your right to be able to travel freely anywhere that's public in this country that you want to go. So if people want to sleep on the sidewalk, then I'm absolutely in favor of it. They've got nowhere else to go a lot of the time, so what am I going to do? What is anybody else going to do?
Well, what do you think of Neil and Ryan Coonerty of the Bookshop Santa Cruz supporting the anti-homeless law?
I think it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, if they're supporting the anti-homeless law, they're basically going against everything that I just said before, and I think it's absolutely silly.
Want to go inside and ask them why?
Frankly, I don't think they'd listen to me.
You're a potential customer. I'm actually banned from the Bookshop Santa Cruz, so I can't go in there. But a customer could, if you wanted to find out. You could ask him to give his opinion.
Well, I'm sure I'm just as much of an advisory opinion to them as this petition is to the city council, so...
I appreciate you giving me your opinion here on tape.
Well, thank you very much. Good luck.
We've been talking with...
Austin.
Thanks, Austin. I'm standing in... right on the edge of the street. It's about 3:35 with that man from, where are you originally from, Craig?
Alabama.
You come from Alabama, but there ain't no banjo on your knee.
No, there's no banjo.
You did have 4 sleeping tickets on your court record 4 days ago before you were... Well, tell us what happened.
There was, I guess you'd call it a trial, a hearing Friday. I was found not guilty for 4 of them. It was I had a lot of help with a lot of people, but was not guilty.
Does that clear your record, or are you still a potential sleep criminal?
I have 1 ticket I have to do something about by the 27th. I will plead not guilty to it and see what happens. I'd rather do other things with my life.
Why not? Court is so much fun.
Well, after a few years, and I've been in and out of courts now for 10 years, it's not that much fun, really.
But you're a man who uses medical marijuana, and that was one of the main reasons, in fact, the main reason that you were acquitted of this charge of sleeping after 11 o'clock at night in Santa Cruz.
Well, yeah, as it works out, since they don't accommodate medical marijuana patients in any homeless service that I know of, or any subsidized housing, yes, it is. And I think it would be a good idea for homeless people to get a recommendation. I think most of them qualify for one reason or another. And it might be a good idea for them to get a recommendation.
Of course, it only costs, what, $150 a pop? Or
Something like that. Actually, if you have Social Security or Medi-Cal, I believe it's about $80. I believe Medi-Cal pays half of the cost.
Are you serious? Medi-Cal would pay for an illegal medical marijuana prescription?
Well, it's actually written into SB 420, Health and Safety Code 1163.7.
Medi-Cal is a state code section, not a federal one, I see.
Yeah, but it is actually written into the state law that Medi-Cal would pay half of the expense.
Wow.
So we just heard Craig Canada, who's a homeless medical marijuana user, actually has his own website, palmspringsbum.org or com, I can never remember which. And who is the fellow I mentioned who was arrested repeatedly for sleeping ban tickets and just beat them, mainly because of the medical marijuana defense he had, that his use of medical marijuana had him banned from all the local emergency shelter services, even when they were available in the winter a little bit. And Anita, you had a thought about this. He said that Medi-Cal is supposed to pay half. What's the Medi-Cal situation on medical marijuana for poor people?
I actually don't know anything about Medi-Cal and poor people, other than I know that locally, Medican in town, the organization that will write you a doctor's letter, will give you a discount on your doctor's letter. And
how much of a discount, you know?
Well, they charge $130. I'm not happy with them at all, but I should praise whoever that they're in town anyway to write letters. But when they came to town, it was $75. Then they raised it to $100, and now it's $135. But if you're on Medi-Cal, they'll charge you $95. But you have to renew every year with them, which I'm totally against. I think once you get your letter, they should stop exploiting people. It fucking makes me sick. But I just got this. I downloaded this the other day off the Cal Normal website, and this is about Medi-Cal. And let me just read a little bit of it. And it says, Clear Lake woman reimbursed for part of her share of cost for her disability caregiver. Now, this is a woman who is disabled and has an IHS caregiver that takes care of her. That's in-home supportive services. It's a state program. Sylvia Price's four-year struggle with Medi-Cal officials has ended with the agency reimbursing her for medical marijuana-related expenses. Medi-Cal issued her a $4,263 check on May 29th, 8 months after the California Department of Health Services determined her medical marijuana expenses were bona fide. Price, 59, is a Clear Lake resident who relies on marijuana to help her cope with disabling ailments that include seizures, osteoporosis, and reflex sympathetic dystrophy. She calls marijuana a gift from God. State health officials are unaware of anyone else using medical marijuana to offset their share of cost for Medi-Cal services, so that might answer your question. Then it says, the reimbursement check covers a period from May 2003 through May 2004. It says, for almost 3 years prior to that period, Price had been allowed to deduct the cost of her marijuana, $430 a month, from the amount she was required to continue her in-home care service, which was $1,300 a month.
What's the date on this story, anyway?
The date, where would I find that, the top of the page? Right here, Saturday, July 7th.
That's pretty recent.
Yeah,
well,
July 7th.
We just heard Craig Cannon. I want to get back to this taping. I catch your
Where does it stand now? What's the situation?
I don't know. Craig is a fellow who has a lot of information about that, and he regularly...
Well, he has a website. He can't be doing...
He regularly comes to Huff meetings, and he does have a website.
He's talking about this.
He's actually one of the people that I mentioned that our wonderful police force has been harassing regularly for publicly medicating with marijuana.
Okay,
even though he's in a legal area and he's not harassing anybody, but he offends some of the merchants who don't want to see him medically.
You mean he's medicating on Pacific Avenue?
Correct.
No, I don't like that.
Well, you might not like it, and the
merchants
don't
either.
That's apparently you and they share that concern.
I don't like it. He should not have to medicate on Pacific Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's no reason for that.
Well, there is actually. He's got a backpack. It's very hard for him to move around.
Robert.
And the fact, no, I'm going to finish. I think that he's First of all, it's legal for him to do that, and just like the people are allowed to smoke, if they can smoke lethal tobacco, he should be allowed to medicate.
He should be, but he's not.
Oh, yes, he is. He does anyway.
If he's driving, is he allowed to medicate if he needs to?
He doesn't drive.
Robert, you're avoiding answering.
He doesn't drive.
But if he did.
No, oh, I don't believe
it. It's a good analogy.
No, it's not.
You're saying if he needs to medicate wherever it is, whatever time, he should be able to.
No, I said on Pacific Avenue he should be allowed to medicate.
No, he shouldn't.
Presuming, for example, he's not operating heavy machinery or driving. You know, the attempt, your attempt to pander to merchants or to conservative sensibilities is not something that I'm
not pandering to anybody. I'm telling you my own beliefs.
Well, why would you believe that a person who is ill cannot use a medication, for example, an inhaler? You pull out an inhaler and you inhale, or to smoke something on Pacific Avenue. Why?
Because
would
an inhaler will loosen your bronchial tubes and make your breathing. Look, Robert,
yeah, okay.
I am a believer in marijuana for medical therapeutic use.
Right.
I'm a believer in marijuana for legalization. But, look, I lost my drift. I hate when that happens.
You've been smoking too much marijuana. Is that the question?
Well, I do medicate.
You've been
medicating again.
I guess you can't medicate in the studio.
Like,
right?
I had a good
thing. Right, well, you get your point. It'll come back to you, Anita.
Robert.
The point I'm making is simply that I know you got a point too, Linda, but I made the point about Pacific Avenue. It's discriminatory. If it's legal, if it's illegal.
No, remember what I was going to say. Marijuana never cured anything. Now, if he was falling on the floor, was he having a spasm? Did he need an ambulance? What was so imperative that he needed to smoke on the busiest street in a downtown city? I am a grandmother also, Robert.
I think he does.
I'm not a single
person. You asked a question. Do you want me to answer the question?
Do
you
want
to make a speech about it? Because you asked the question.
I want to do both.
I saw him in court, Anita. I haven't met him downtown, but they had to adjourn so he could medicate himself because his anxiety was starting to drop.
Well, if you have that kind of anxiety, maybe you shouldn't be on Pacific Avenue where there's so much traffic.
Yeah, maybe you should be able to get a room or even a home.
Absolutely, I think you should be entitled
to have some place to live. Caller, try calling again. I'll cut off these two the next time you call in.
People shouldn't be being dumped on Pacific Avenue or any other downtown.
All right, we have a caller.
They should be able to get their basic needs safely met.
Here we go. Hey there, caller. You're on Free Radio. We're jabbering away here.
Hello. Actually, have Craig Canada taking a shower here tonight.
Uh-oh.
And I know Craig Canada pretty well. I would stand up for him for smoking on the street because he is walking around and trying to just get his mind together to keep going. You walk around Santa Cruz, how far can you get when you're not, you know, really... You're carrying a big load. You're walking around, barely getting to sleep at night, and trying to get to places to eat in this town, and a place to sit down for a minute. Usually, would hopefully be a place where he could plug in his computer. But this person is really trying to get his life together, and it's really sad. To think that this person cannot medicate when it's necessary. It's absolutely necessary, and I know why. I know how emotional he is, how difficult he can be when he's not smoking, and he can maintain himself pretty well if he can smoke. And I just say, you know, more power to him as far as knowing what's making him feel together in his life. He can barely make it, but he somehow, with Huff and Safe support, giving him a shower, helping support him in his legal problems, is the only thing that's keeping him a little sane, other than maybe a little work he does in his computer. And it's not an easy thing to be in the situation he's in. It's one of the worst I've seen, and I don't like to see him struggle, but.
Well, I don't actually know the fellow, but in my mind, I don't really think it would matter, and this is only my own personal opinion, I don't think it would matter who it was. I don't think anybody should be smoking marijuana on Pacific Avenue, nor do I think they should be smoking it in the city parks.
So you think it's obscene to smoke pot?
Well, it depends on how you define obscene.
What is the word you would use? I'm questioning you. What would you say? What is it about smoking marijuana other than the fact that it's illegal and considered a drug that will lead to other drugs?
Because there are families with children that don't have the same belief system that you and I have, that don't share the same beliefs that we have.
But we're going to see everything like that on the streets. And we meet people, we're going to see things we don't believe in that don't support what we believe in. But does that mean that people can't be who they are because they have to respect somebody's belief system, what they think, how things should be in their lives, and they shouldn't be affected by the differences people have? You know, what, how about people who think that gays are no good? Does that mean that people cannot be gay in public because that offends people's belief systems? I don't think it makes sense.
Well, I don't really know how to respond to that analogy about gay people. I think this town is very tolerant of gays and lesbians, but I can tell you when they do have public displays of affection, they do put themselves at risk for being harmed because there are many people that don't believe the way that we believe.
Let me ask you, Nina, do you think that, are you just advising people not to smoke on Pacific Avenue, or are you saying it should be criminal to smoke?
No, I don't think it should be criminal. Okay. I'm advising people not to put themselves in positions to draw. Look, when I first started Medics 11 years ago, I've been through 4 district attorneys, 2 sheriffs, and 2 chiefs of police, and they all told me the same thing. Don't advertise. Don't bring attention to yourself. And I haven't.
Keep
and
a
I have.
Low profile.
And I. That's
yeah,
right.
Well, activists and are I not into low profile.
You don't need to advertise that you're smoking marijuana on Pacific Avenue and let everybody in your general vicinity know exactly what you're doing.
Okay. Let me give a.
But what if you can't get on the block unless you can get a grip of your body and your thoughts and your functioning?
Well, you know, we could if this you know, and if.
I'm serious. I would like to comment.
Hang on. I know. But I would like to ask the caller if she has anything more to say, and if not, I'm going to open the lines, and then you can comment. Caller, I think you it's not so much what you're saying as the way you're saying it. I appreciate your calm demeanor here in the midst of this frantic interaction that we've been having here in the studio. I think it's great.
I really appreciate you trying to stay on topic, Robert, and you look like you're having a lot of trouble doing it, and I wish you luck on
Robert,
that.
Stay on topic?
Well, Mike Rockingham has something
Robert,
to say about
that. Well, I feel
that
Robert's having a lot of trouble staying on topic because there's a lot of, kind of like a Madison comes on, you know, Robert?
She hasn't kinda come
like
on tonight.
That, you know, lots of many different things, more than just the topic, and
right.
It kind of throws us off a little bit. It's hard to
that's
follow.
Only reflective on Robert for not being able to control his studio.
That's true.
Follow.
I'm going
well,
to I'll adopt
like
a stronger hand
trying
here.
To. Yeah, I think
all right.
That it was
so,
difficult.
So anyway, Valerie, thank you for calling in. And if Craig gets out of his shower and he wants to call, you know, to give some comments about why it's important to be able to medicate on Pacific Avenue, even though, let's say,
yeah. I'd love to
you know,
hear. I'd love
even
to hear
though
his
it may involve. I mean, I don't frankly think I want to spend a whole show talking about it.
Yeah,
and
you probably
I
have more things.
To me, it's pretty obvious, but you know, other people think differently. Thanks for calling.
All right.
And phone lines once more are open 427-3772. And Linda has, as usual, been cut out, but now she gets a chance to speak up. Hey, Linda.
Well, now I don't think it's worth my attention anymore.
And now we're going to get crabby behavior from Linda.
Is this crabby? Is it that
yes.
easy to be crabby?
Yes,
oh,
I would say so.
I have so many enemies.
Anyway, let's turn, however, to, before we go any further, although we were in the middle of the Craig Canada interview, let's chop it up further by having you turn to this report on homelessness, the census. We actually, we're looking at the Mid-County Post. Would you be up for discussing that, Linda?
I would like to talk about it a little bit. It doesn't segue into Craig's trial as much as...
Well, we aren't talking about Craig's trial.
Why I was there.
We aren't talking about Craig's trial. We're listening to an interview that Craig had, I believe it was either at the Huff meeting or at the Coonerty protest, which again we'll be repeating on Sunday. For those of you who want to come on down, 2:00 in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz. But I think one of the issues that people should know about is what is the situation with homeless people. I know that I usually cite the figure 1,500 to 2,000 homeless people on any night in Santa Cruz, which is very rough. And I know that every year there's been, or every few years, there's been a couple of different kinds of censuses, most of which I regard with severe suspicion because they're funded by the government in a way that, you know, I guess it advantages certain groups to count certain kinds of homeless people and not to count others. I don't know how, and I'm gonna you're gonna have the floor in a moment, Linda. I'm gonna turn over the entire microphone to you here, but
sure.
But she's waving at me madly. But the fact of the matter is, for those who want, she's looking at an article which is in the Mid-County Post. For those who are interested, called "Report on Homeless: Say Fewer on Streets Are More Chronically Homeless." July 3rd through July 30th. It's the July issue of the Valley Post. And it's based on a longer study, which I believe can be found online. Linda, take it away.
Okay, Robert, this is the closest I've ever known you to get to these censuses. But I'm going to try to do what you just did with a different flavor and kind of present or open this topic. The surveys you're talking about and your posture is noted duly. I'll have the feminist Nazis on you any minute.
I'm listening. I'm meditating as you go, Linda.
Thank you.
Not medicating, but meditating.
Well, either one will help with the same problems, I think. These surveys, the last four or maybe five, I'm very bad with numbers, but I'm very good with analysis and getting an overview of things, have been paid for by HUD, and they're required by HUD, Housing and Human Development, which I think everybody knows that's
Housing and Urban.
Oh, thank you. Housing and Urban Development, which is a federal agency, and which has been responsible for a long, long time, you know, since Roosevelt, I guess, for helping people have a safe place to live. Only they're not doing it very well because the last five presidents we've had don't really think people need that anymore. That whole Truman and Roosevelt New Deal has been pretty much swept under the rug or outright under assault by boneheads.
I don't think that's so recent, though, you know, because HUD built all those projects in New York. When I grew up, I lived in the projects in the Bronx.
Yeah.
So they'll build the housing, but they build it and it's inferior.
They don't know what they're doing. They're trying to have people in Congress who don't even know how to be congressmen decide how to be contractors, how to be tenants, and all this other stuff. But they do get money from Congress. And so the reason this thing called continuum of care exists is because some of that money that all of us have sent to this Congress and this administration is meant for housing people. And so finally they have this plan. It hasn't been around for 4 years yet, but in our county we're a couple years into it, to end homelessness in 10 years. And this is being sort of mandated from above like some pogrom for everywhere. If you want your share of tax dollars that were collected on the behalf of your poor people and your already homeless people, then here's the hoops you have to jump through to get it. So the continuum of care, you could say, is a matrix program. It's a template. And the counties that can do it and will do it can get some money back for the homeless people they can account for and make promises about. Now, as Robert was saying, he counts about, 1,500 people in Santa Cruz City's homeless population?
1,500 to 2,000.
Okay. And so from my point of view, it's hard to think about the city as a separate entity with separate homeless people. So we're always kind of like apples and oranges on this. But from my point of view, there are about 5,000 homeless people that we can count or in a scientific way extrapolate that exist. And another equal number, like another 5,000 in the county who hide. And that includes people who haven't burnt their credit card all up yet, and it includes people who have been, especially men, who have been in the mountains here for a long time, even before people were using words against them like homelessness, which does create a real status onus for people and gets them burned and beaten in their sleep. And, well, people know the extremes of this, but it seems to me that the public just doesn't deal with the fabric of it and want to know more about what we can do to keep it from getting worse.
Let's turn to the census.
So then we get the federal government.
Linda, let's turn to the census. This article that you're actually...
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. I wasn't clear that... go ahead.
Is this hard to concentrate?
I wasn't aware we were really talking about... Go ahead. Okay, so the specifics about this particular Mid-County Post article which discusses the recent census...
I was going to read a few excerpts from this Mid-County article because it really talks about the people. If you read the survey itself, it talks about numbers and reduces everybody into like stereotypes or prototypes or norms or less than that, mere numbers. But this article, it talks about the survey. It doesn't say much except some of these numbers. I'll read one. But then it gets to talking about, because what is this, Mid-County Post? The Valley Post. That's Scotts Valley Post, San Lorenzo Valley Post. Out that way, where the mountain people are the most prominent.
It is the Valley, Valley, not the Mid-County, yeah. Go ahead.
And it points out what I was trying to say, Robert, that half the people that we know are homeless never are going to get counted in a survey. Now, to kind of illustrate that better, here is an excerpt from the article. It's called, "Reporter on Homeless Says Fewer on Streets, But More Are Chronically Homeless," by Michael Thomas. And jumping into it, there's about two guys who are homeless. Frank is doubtful that the census numbers tell the real story. It's rough terrain up there, he said. There are a lot of people that just don't want to be found. However, Harry believes there may have been a decrease. This is what the survey suggests, people. But perhaps not for good reasons. Quoting, we've had quite a few people die this year, he said. Even if you're healthy, life is filled with uncertainty. Quoting again, the rangers will find you, but it takes time, Frank says. Occasionally, rangers will clear out a camp, particularly if it is creating a fire threat or other hazard. Quoting still, it's not like they put up a tag on your tin, he adds. They take it. And then I'm skipping ahead here just to put out these broad statistics. This man named Peter, what's his last name? And Peter Connery, he works for this survey company that the county and the continuum of care hired. He said that the percentage of homeless who are, quote, unsheltered, which means they don't have access to shelter beds or transitional housing, and I will insert here, or any other quantifiable services, is one of the highest he has seen. This is anywhere in the state, at 82%. And then later, the annual figure was just under 5,600 people, quoting, down a bit since the last survey in 05. We don't believe that. I don't believe that.
Hang on a second, Linda. Let me ask you, if you were to draw three salient facts out of this entire article that you would want people...
I had six words left.
...that you would want people to come away with, what would they be?
I would throw the article away and talk to them. And if they were homeless, I would say one thing. And if they were dumb and housed, I would say another... Several.
So
things.
There's nothing in the article you think is worth actually
everything that
worth
I just read,
worth
plus
noting.
The fact that ultimately it's 2.1% of the population here, which is not unlike other parts of the state. There are some other statistics. This survey, because it's a point in time snapshot, don't touch on, showing that people stay chronically homeless longer, which your friend Craig Canada might be a way to illustrate.
Well, it's interesting to me, and I read the summary of the survey in the Sentinel, was that there's a while they claim that the numbers of the homeless people are dropping, although the survey was done at different times of the year. I think this was done in January instead of March or vice versa.
Yes.
And the point on previously 2 years ago was done at another time. But that the percentage of people who are without shelter, I guess they're using a somewhat different percentage of people who actually have no shelter for a longer period of time, the hardcore homeless population has significantly increased. The people that don't have shelter at night at all.
That's what I was saying.
I don't recall what you were saying because I kind of got lost in some of the figures that you were reading from. But that's why I'm asking you to try to pick out two or three salient facts you think we should come away with from this.
Well, I think what you were saying is interesting, Linda, especially the point that many of the people up in the mountains are hiding. They don't want to be.
And the people that park by the post office for 24 minutes or until they see the parking person, they're hiding too. The people I know, my friend that got wrecked in the earthquake, she was homeless with her credit card part of the time, living in her car, and nobody knew it for 2 years.
We have a caller. Hi, caller. You're on Free Radio with us. Welcome.
Hi.
What's your name, caller?
My name's John.
Hey, John. Go ahead.
It's expensive to live in this area. If I could not afford to live here, I would have to go someplace else.
Yes.
Maybe there are other places where these people could reside where they could actually afford to live. You know, I'm sorry it's expensive to live here and I can barely get by, but I have a job that I can get by with. So that's my comment. They don't have to be here.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
If you suddenly lost your job and any benefits tied to it, just abruptly, you didn't see it coming, say the business went out of business like some of the Seagate did and stuff, and you didn't have any savings, at what point would you realize, after you're all the way broke, where to go?
Within probably at least 30 to 90 days, I could say, okay, this isn't working here. I've got to find another place to exist where I can actually have a viable income where I can actually afford things. I don't live in Carmel. I'd love to live in Carmel.
People who are homeless here have a viable income. They have what in most of the country of the United States would be an adequate income.
But
you're right about housing, and housing
don't have enough.
Housing is definitely a contributor to the fact that our chronically homeless people end up sick and in the hospital before anyone even sees them or hears them.
But that's because many of them are drug abusers and are using
but I'm
alcohol.
Talking about all of them, and it happens whether you self-medicate or whether you just tough it. You know, people who are here for a long time are homeless because this is where their support system is. Their parents, or their siblings,
you know,
or maybe the children that their money is going
to
support while they're sleeping in a bedroll.
Okay, then why aren't their support systems helping them to the point where come and live with me? I had a support system quite a while ago where I actually did not have a place to live. My support system said, she said, oh, come and live with me for a couple weeks until you can start to get back on your feet. If I would not have had that particular person, or if that particular person would have said, you know, I just can't afford it, I just can't do this anymore, I would have had to have left the area. If they're not here because they are forced to be here, they're here because they choose to be here, but there are other factors that come into play.
They're not choosing to be here any more than you are. Can I kind of confront you. I hate to do this at all in my life, but I want to confront you.
By all means.
I forgot my point.
Well, let me make a point before. I better turn up my own mic first before I do. Hey, John.
Hi.
This is Robert speaking. You know, the same arguments are used in every city throughout the country.
Uh-huh.
It's interesting. They claim that, you know, why don't you just go somewhere else? You are a burden to us. And in every single city you go to, you will find a massive increase in homelessness because of a lack of housing, and jobs.
What
so the idea that people should go somewhere else and be homeless, well, it sounds nice.
No, don't go someplace else and be homeless. Go someplace else where you can find a standard of living which your income can...
It sounds good.
John, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to take your side on this.
You would.
I would.
It doesn't need a side.
It does need a side.
A homeless person that just lost his job once,
I don't think so.
He may move to Stockton or wherever his grandmother lives that will let him in for a few weeks, or he may have to stay here for any number of reasons, but it's not the first time it happens to you that turns you into a chronically homeless person.
That's true. What about a support system?
Into being homeless was the Medi-Cal system deciding I could no longer get physical therapy because because of Reaganomics, basically. They just changed the whole Medi-Cal system so there's no preventive thing in it. So at the same time, and I was working a 32-hour-a-week job, and it was an adequate job. I did have help from friends getting by, and I had little kids. But
I think the main point.
At the same time that happened, I lost my job. You don't just come back when you're sick.
The main point that I have often seen, caller, is, as I said, it's nice to have the theory that, you can go somewhere else. Why don't you go to Mexico where you can make a living because the standard of living is cheaper there? There are plenty of reasons Mexicans are coming to this country because their jobs are being destroyed by foreign capital coming in from the United States.
This is God's country.
I'm going to roll this up because I really want to move on to the next subject.
Can I have one final comment? I guess.
Go ahead, John. Sorry about that, John. I was trying to give you a point. I turned down other people's mics so you could speak. But hey, thank you for calling. And if you want to call again, you can. Try to give the callers more opportunity to call than us.
I mean, nobody wants to see anybody homeless, but it's important.
It's important.
It's not a good point.
Robert, it's important.
I don't think it's a good point.
To have a support system or family.
Right, it is.
Or wait a minute. Or somebody that can help you. Unfortunately,
a
lot of people don't have that.
We have a caller.
Okay.
And they don't. They're not likely to find it somewhere else necessarily.
According to that survey.
Anyway, we have a caller. Hi there, caller. You're on free radio. Hello.
Hi, Robert. It's John.
Go ahead, John. Make your comment.
I thought I got cut off. I thought I got all my time.
No,
thanks
just,
for
just
calling.
Just one final comment.
Go ahead.
About another type of support system, which would enable people to get information on where jobs throughout the country might be, listing given housing affordability. affordability and things like that. Support just doesn't have to come in the way of homeless shelters and things like that. It can
Absolutely.
Be in the way of resources, which would list other places, which, okay, this standard of living says you can, I lived in Iowa for a while, and the place I lived in was about $250 a month not too long ago. So, you know, that's a far cry from, you know, paying $1,500 a month here. So there are other places where you can exist, but I know that it's the logistics of putting that kind of information together have to be addressed in and of themselves, but, you know, another type of support system maybe. But that was my final comment, so I appreciate your talking to me.
No, thanks for calling in, John.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to get back to this tape because I want to hear a little of the tape, and I'm getting exhausted with the panelists, however enthusiastic they are. But don't leave the studio because...
I think you're doing a disservice to anybody who still listens to your show, Robert, by not allowing the very question he asked to have some real discussion. Because there's a lot of people that think it's a one-time shot.
Well, let's see if this...
And as John said, there's a lot of
We'll see if this caller agrees with you. Hi there, you're on Free Radio.
Hey, Robert, it's Madison.
Hey, Madison, welcome
to
Free Radio.
I've been homeless three times for three different reasons. And I've talked to a lot of homeless and I've tried to help them. And there's a lot of excuses. One time I was homeless because I had $126 and graduated
Madison, hang on.
I was never counted as a homeless.
Madison, go ahead. I'm sorry. Finish up. The conversation is becoming pretty general, and I'm trying to get it back into a more specific kind of thread. But you're saying go ahead specifically with what you're saying.
Well, I've been homeless three different times, three different reasons, three different ways.
Right.
And I never was counted.
You never were what?
Was never counted by any county facility.
Right, most people aren't, I think, most of the
time.
Never.
One time I lived in the back of a trailer in Santa Barbara behind someone's place.
Right.
And I was painting the whale that's hanging in the big museum down there.
Okay.
And the museum director, at the end of the summer, I'd worked and rode my bike and saved, blah, blah, and I didn't get paid till the end of the project. Then he tried to screw me.
All right, well, let's not get into that.
I mean, it goes on. There's all these different reasons. But I've also been really sick from car accidents.
Madison, I want to ask you.
I never went on
Madison,
disability.
I want to ask you, Madison. You,
70
hours. Madison, hang on. I want to ask you. This caller who just called in, John, suggested that, you know, why don't people move elsewhere because it's cheaper to live elsewhere? What's your reaction to that?
Well, my feeling is I've helped a number of homeless around here. And if you're on disability... and you don't have a home, and there are homes offered elsewhere in the country, or you can buy them on a tax sale where there's a roof over your head, where you can get a start for almost nothing, in my opinion, you don't have an excuse.
Thank you, caller. Okay, so that's good. I'm glad we...
She's making an excellent point. Madison, I'm very glad that you called in. The only comment I have about...
That takes care of two people out of 5,000.
The only comment I have about leaving the area would be you can't even get on the HUD waiting list in this county. You can't even... There are so many low-income housing complexes through the county. You can't even get on their waiting list.
Okay,
that
Anita, are you aware of the situation in any other counties that's better?
What do you mean better? You're the one making this.
Linda, let Anita answer the question. Are you aware of anywhere else that's better? If you're going to send somebody out of here and say, get out of our county.
Oh, no, I didn't say get out of the county. But I'm agreeing with what he's saying.
Which is,
if you're finding it difficult to make it here because it is extremely expensive, we live on prime real estate. Everybody knows. I remember I lived in Venice when I first came to California in the 70s, how they were pushing all the
idea,
people out.
Okay, hold it. The idea that it's easier to make it elsewhere than it is to make it here, maybe easier to, in a sense,
no,
buy
I don't think
it
you'd
be
tolerated the
it
way
be
you're tolerated.
It may be
many
easier
people are tolerated
to buy
here, Robert.
I don't know about that either. But I think we have seen that homeless are not tolerated here. That's an illusion and a fantasy promulgated by the city council and by, you know, token projects that they have. The reality is it's illegal to sleep at night in Santa Cruz on any public property. We have the most restrictive sleeping law in the state. And the idea that, you know, I don't know. I mean, it seems to me that there... The plausible argument the caller makes is one that I'm not going to spend a lot of time on because it's an important one, but frankly, I've got other things on my agenda. I'd like to bring it up and talk about when we have more details back and forth. Linda, do you have a specific
response?
What was
the plausible part?
What was plausible about it? The plausibility is go where you can afford to be as a plausible argument.
But it's also, I mean...
Well, inland. I mean, just go inland.
Your interpretation of it... is a good reason to stay here, because if this is where your uncle is or your ex-boss that'll let you shower, Why would you go somewhere where you don't know anybody and you're already handicapped because you don't have anything?
Because it's ultimately cheaper to live elsewhere and you can actually get out of...
No, but I'm saying...
Wait a minute. Because,
this is
because,
a theory that...
Because it's easier to get out of homelessness elsewhere under that theory. Okay, well, I agree with you, Linda, that I don't think it's true, but I think that it's plausible. We have a caller. I do let some people talk about it sometimes, but I do run the show. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hello, this is Sheila Shitsky. I'm a Jewish nun. I love your show, but I wish all three of you should run for office.
And we're going to run from office. Thank you. I think I recognize that caller. No phony accents, please. You're going to get it. So, you're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. I'm Robert Norris. In the studio with me, a MedEx worker and homeless neophyte. Actually, she's not homeless, but is Anita Henry. And also with us is Linda LeMaster, who is on the continuum of care, or whatever these clowns are calling themselves these days, and is also been homeless herself, and I think... I'm told
we should just shut the hell up and take the call.
We have
we see the light flashing and you just keep talking.
But
I
like
listen.
To talk. Anyway,
call,
we
Robert.
Have a caller here. Hi there, caller. You're on Free Radio with the Chatterboxes.
Hi. My name is Jerry and I'm calling from down in Ojai, California.
Hey, Jerry.
And I've been listening to talk about homelessness in Santa Cruz. And I know that you guys have got an incredible problem with it up there, dealing with a government that totally lacks compassion for their fellow human being, and are more interested in the cost of the price, the value of real estate. And we have that problem down here in Ojai, too. And what we did is a bunch of churches got together and organized a series of homeless shelters, and I was homeless before the shelters program started up, and since then I'm off the streets and all that. But I've been a volunteer with the shelter program for a number of years. And the focus of our shelter program is to keep people from this community in this community. It's their home.
All right. Well done.
And, you know, and whatever it takes is whatever it takes. We hook them up with medical services and dental services, and we try and do job placement for them.
Well, wait a minute. You know, shouldn't you be telling these people, look, oh, how expensive community.
Yeah,
why
you
got to
stop where people are going to come down
that
way.
Why don't you move to Tijuana? Why don't you tell the folks that? I mean,
we're telling people, look, you were born here, raised here, you went to school here. And,
that's not the case in Santa Cruz. You can't, the people that I know.
That's not true, Anita.
That I know. Well, Robert, I can only speak my own experience.
No, we can talk about the real figures, too, not just your own
statistics are always going to be manipulated.
Well,
I can only go by my own
experience. We have an expert here. Linda's been examining
the people who live in the community deserve the opportunity to stay in
the community.
With
that, Anita, right?
This is...
And I'm saying you agree with that, right? Anita?
Oh, absolutely.
Good enough. Okay, well, let me ask Linda.
I don't think people should
ask Anita, let me ask Linda on the subject. What are the figures? What percentage of homeless people are actually either born here, raised here, or been here for more than 10 years?
This latest survey was saying that it's almost 78%.
I don't believe that.
I know. There's different points of view about it, but as long as we can't even see half of them, these are only what you would call educated guesses.
Jerry, anything else you got, any other thoughts you have? Because we have a lot of callers actually calling in.
Well, you know, we could always just brand them all terrorists and stick them into New Halliburton camps they're building out in the desert.
Well, that's an idea. You know, I'm going to suggest that to the next caller.
Well, you know, actually, I think that we should avail them of the services to remain in the community that they belong in.
Jerry, I appreciate your
listening. Their home community.
I appreciate your listening to the show. Are you a regular listener, or did you just happen to run across this?
I certainly am. I love Free Radio Santa Cruz. You guys, you're the bomb, man.
Hey, sounds good.
And Free Radio is an example.
Okay, well, I love you guys.
Thank you, Jerry.
All right. Be strong.
Bye-bye.
Great call. This is going to sound like a tangent to you, I know, right?
Phone lines
before
are open.
I even finish
427-3772.
Free Radio is an example, an illustration of a way that there are alternative services, too. Sending people to the county building, if they're homeless and they get hurt or sick, isn't necessarily going to get them the human contact they need. So sometimes talking to
Linda,
somebody real helps.
I think it's very good when we have our dialogue with real people here, and I invite people to call in at 427-3772, even though I get real tired sometimes of the real dialogue. I think it's real important. So a couple of other things I probably wanted to bring up here before we get we're actually entering the last half hour of this show. I hear there's a call. I'm also looking for something else, though. But let's take the call. Heck, why not? It's caller's night. You're on free radio.
Hi, Robert. It's Madison.
Madison, call number two. Go ahead.
2 blocks from the bus, and I'm also between a number of the places where people are fed. So I get a good... I'm a pretty good person to ask, in general, what the population is about. And I would say my experience is half of them are just dropped in here mostly from Vegas and Reno, more conservative cities, on the bus. And I say, well, do you guys have a blanket? Do you have any money? Do you have any family? They're like, no, we just heard Santa Cruz was cool, and they gave us a ticket. And the other half are, like, constantly homeless. They were hippies that are still hippies, but they didn't think they'd ever get old. They have drug and alcohol problems. I mean, I have thought of so many different ways to help people in many aspects of business that I have, and no one has responded to it.
I'm responding, Madison.
I thank
you for your call.
To art sales to
thank you, Madison. And I'm answering you off the air. You know, the idea that half the homeless population is a bunch of drug abusers and the other half are just wild and crazy hippie travelers, I think is.
I don't believe that's what
she complete
said,
nonsense.
Robert. That is not what she said.
Well, that's
said.
The impression I got from what
as
was
she was
said.
Speaking, I was thinking, yes,
cartoon
yes,
nature.
She's absolutely.
No.
That's been my
experience. I don't think so.
That's what we see.
I don't think so.
But that's not
but
what
we have another.
Surveys.
We have another caller.
The,
we have another
caller.
We'll get a fifth
Remember
opinion.
The weekend
maybe
hippies?
A sixth opinion.
Now we have weekend homeless.
All right, here we go. Hi there. You're on free
and
radio.
Also, predators
you're,
that prey on.
You're on free radio. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Millie.
I'm sorry.
Judy.
Hey, Judy.
Hi. What about, I've heard that there's about 700 people in the county that are Vietnam vets. What about the Vietnam vets? I'm just putting it out there maybe for you to discuss it.
Okay, thank you. Okay, now, no, I'm not interested in a kind of a lengthy discussion of
I didn't say anything at all, little
right,
lengthy,
right,
Robert.
Right, right. I think that what we have to
what
do...
Well,
are you going to answer the lovely woman's question?
What about the Vietnam vets? You know, I mean, what does that question
what
mean?
Here?
Do you know the statistics of the
homeless vets? I don't have a lot of stats about the homeless vets, but perhaps one of you two does.
I know very little about
okay,
the
Linda?
Homeless other than my own personal
Linda,
experience.
Do you know anything about the homeless
about
vets?
What I was to say is that while the medical support systems have improved a little bit in the last 2 years, we've actually created 11 units of housing that they get first dibs at. And I think her numbers were right about the total numbers.
700 homeless vets.
Still homeless that were veterans in one of the last two wars.
Okay. We have do we have another caller? Aha, we do. Thank you, Anita.
I think callers are fabulous and should be at the center of your show, Robert.
Well, they are. Sometimes. Well. All right. We have a caller. Either a caller. You're at the center of the show. Go ahead.
Hi, Robert. You surmised me absolutely wrong, Madison. But I have a solution.
Anita is one of your fans now.
Madison, do
you know how
there's
the thing that says the village, take care of the village?
Yeah. First we need villages.
Okay, village, take care of the village. So my idea for the village is all the kids are running around throwing rocks, bricks, bottles, clubbing each other after they drank too much. There's all this meth and drugs going on. They've got way too much money. So put an extra tax on the people that are only spending a short time in the village to take care of the homeless. Hey, you don't like the tax? Go to UC Fresno.
Thanks, Madison. So, you know, I think
like
Madison
that.
Always has, Madison always got some interesting ideas. We have about 20 minutes left in the show, and the callers will actually not be the center of the show for the next 20 minutes because I've got some stuff I want to put out. But before I do, we have what looks like a long-distance caller, or maybe an unusual caller. Maybe we can actually work this sucker out here. Let's see if we can do this.
I would think you'd be flattered when your phones light up like that, Robert.
Yes, you would. Anita, you're fired. Go to the back of the room. Caller, you're on free radio.
Hello?
Hi. Yes. Turn down your radio. Turn down your radio. You'll be confused.
Tell Valerie to turn down the radio.
Oh, this sounds like Craig Canada.
Yeah, I'm in Valerie's bathroom.
Okay, Craig.
Hello, Craig.
Hi, yeah, I'm calling because when I started to take a shower, I heard Anita McHenry say that she thought that the parks should be for children, with the insinuation that I guess that I'm not clear. Do you think that medical marijuana patients should sit at home all day and watch Jerry Springer? I mean, what are they supposed to do?
Well, let me...
What about these Vietnam vets? And Anita, I want to call you a quisling.
A quizzling. But, Craig, let me clarify what was said so you can know whether to be outraged or not, okay?
Oh, no.
What was clarified was that Anita didn't think it was advisable for people to smoke on Pacific Avenue, but she didn't think it should be illegal. Does that adequately characterize what you said?
That's what I said. I don't think it should be illegal, but I don't think it's appropriate.
That's what she said. Now, go ahead, Craig, with your comments.
What's a quisling?
A quisling is someone who sells out to the Nazis in World War II. Quisling was...
Kiss my fat ass!
So we have a different difference of opinion here. Craig is hung up. In any case, well, Craig feels strongly about people who he feels, and I think appropriately, want to suggest that he doesn't have as much, not just right to be on Pacific Avenue, but you feel as welcome to be on Pacific Avenue as anyone else. I agree with that. And that's why we got into a little kind of a roundelay about this earlier. But, you know, passions are strong on this issue. People have a lot of different opinions.
Mostly ill-informed?
I don't know.
Ill-informed.
People have their opinions. And
including
you. You know, and no, I'm very well-informed.
On city things?
I'm well-informed on everything. Now, there were many things I was going to discuss, but instead I got a lot of callers, which Anita points out is presumably a positive thing. I'm beginning to wonder about that. I may have to get a screener for my next show. But also we have two very outspoken guests who I have to wrangle. I have to get a guest wrangler in the studio to wrangle with you two.
You can wrangle, but no callers.
We can wrangle with the callers and with the guests.
Caller.
No callers, as in C-O-L-L-A-R-S. There will be another edition of Bathroom Spears Broadsides on Sunday, and I'm announcing this a little early because I'm going to try to cram a lot in on Sunday. We have at the next city council meeting, there's the hearing of the E3 Playhouse. You folks may remember that. That's the playhouse that, you know, provides a variety of venues, gets a lot of positive response. A lot of, you know, racially class mixed groups go there. And they're getting the axe because Wes Anthony didn't follow his permit as he was supposed to do. And I talked to Ryan Coonerty, actually, when he called me back, our vice mayor and the great advocate of the sleeping ban, who will be protesting on Sunday again at 2 o'clock in front of his bookshop. He said that he couldn't favor supporting Wes's permit because Wes is he broke the permit requirements and, you know, was unwilling to follow them. Of course, the real question is whether the permit requirements made any sense in the first place and whether the bureaucrats who put the restaurateur nightclub owner in that position shouldn't be held to account themselves. And of course, that's what a lot of people came to the public hearing, permit commission, zoning commission, public works commission. I'm not sure what commission it was, but it was the commission that turned down his appeal. That appeal now goes to city council, and next week it will be back, and that'll be the last city council meeting of the summer. Actually, it will be of the summer. The next one will be in the third week in September, the second Tuesday, actually, in September. So, Anita is giving me the finger again here. She's pointing to, she's actually doing a very good job of informing when the phone callers are calling in, leading me to wonder if, in fact, she's more interested in the phone callers than listening to me.
I want to hear what people have to say. We all know what you have to say.
Unless you listen to your show.
Here's a caller, then.
Said no.
Hi there, you're on free radio with the three of us.
The pseudo art town.
Madison,
Santa
this is
Cruz.
Call number three. This has got
to
be
I know. I don't count them. It doesn't matter. But
I
here
do
we
count
are,
them,
the
and
pseudo
I'm going to cut you off shortly.
And there's the no dancing. I mean, are you asked backwards, Santa Cruz, or what? No dancing in an art town? Give me a break. That's what brings tourists in here. And guess who came up with the law? It's that fat little old Jewish lady who's 90. She's been wanking since she showed up from Manhattan as a conservative from KSCO Radio. And she wanted no frisbees, no dancing, no fun. It's like, just get out, lady.
A fat Jew from New York, let me at her. What's her name?
I didn't say that. It was that, you know what I mean? She was just this wet rag. And it was just like, get out, lady. We're dancing. If you don't like it, get out of California.
Thank you, Madison. She may be referring to Michael Zwirling's mom, who runs the radio station. I don't know if she's a fat Jewish lady. She's a powerful woman, and she is Jewish, conservative. I don't know how she feels on the dancing situation, so I can't really talk about that. But if you feel strongly about this, you might want to call the city council listeners, 420-5020. If you are out of the area, like if you're listening in Ojai, you might call 831-420-5020, 831-420-5020. Leave a message to the city council that you think dancing does have a place in a nightclub in Santa Cruz, particularly one that allows community groups to throw events. And the real question is also alcohol use, because the problem is, much as I abhor alcohol abuse, and I'm not particularly big on alcohol use, it allows you to pay for the area. So maybe if they allowed marijuana use, they could do that too. But then,
well, you
of
know,
course,
Robert,
we
they had a lot of noise complaints, I believe, from that 1010 Pacific
Avenue. No, they had
Avenue.
Two people doing noise complaints, according.
That's
to
all it takes in this town.
Oh, it doesn't
they
matter.
Try to shut
it doesn't. It doesn't matter. Two people doing noise complaints against an entire community using a club does not seem to me to be a fair balance.
I
Linda,
agree.
You
yes,
had a comment.
So
well,
far.
I agree with you there, Robert, and I think that the town needs to turn out and make it known that an affordable venue, a flexible venue, a venue that has a night for youth, that we need that. Wherever it is, we need that
we
here.
We need the arts.
But if people don't get
off
their duffs, the city's going to just follow their dots and cross the T's and the
lamentably
usual.
So. Again, 420-502 is the number to call. You can also tell them about the sleeping ban. And if this is you, Madison, it's going to be a very short call, I warn you. You're on free radio.
We've got one
Madison.
Guy who's from the East Coast. He's a New Yorker on the government dole in Santa Cruz against a guy who's putting up the business and paying the bills here. So that wanker, go live with Ms. KSCO and go back to Manhattan, man, because this is California. Shakedown Street,
Madison,
baby.
Madison, hello. Are you there? You still there?
I don't know what she... What was, I don't
she's
know what
gone.
She's
yeah, Madison's problem is, first of all, she's sensitive to the fact that she's likely to be cut off because she does call repeatedly, although oft times has a lot of interesting things to say.
I like to hear from her.
Yeah, I know. Well, you might... I've often urged her to get your own show here. In fact, I've told Madison repeatedly to get her own show because it would free up some airtime for me to go on with my long monologues, which, you know, I know are extremely interesting.
Well, certainly somebody with another point of view, Lord knows.
Anyway, we have about 11 minutes left in the show. Linda looks like she's making a move on the mic. What's up, Linda?
Some of your monologues are really important. But dialogue's more fun, and I think it's more vital.
Well, it does seem to be prompting a number of phone calls today, although I don't, again, I think I get a little, it's appropriate, I guess, when people ask general questions about homelessness. It's a little embarrassing when we don't have the answers. But
we have the answers. We have to not turn off the person with the answers mic when she's trying to say something.
Well, what answers haven't you been able to give,
Linda? Well, for example, I wanted to talk to John about there are a lot of really specialized, localized, personalized services here, but not enough for 5,000 people that have been homeless for more than a year or more than four times in 3 years.
What does that have to do with his question?
I'm saying that...
John's question, I will remind... Wait, no. John's question, I will remind our listeners and those who just tuned in, was the question of whether, why can't homeless people go somewhere where it's more affordable? Doesn't that make a lot more sense?
No, but that would take a half hour to even begin to address.
Well, you're answering.
Honestly,
that was
no.
his main
Listen,
question.
He also said, where
back.
They have a support group.
He called back to make sure that we didn't misunderstand that a support system is a bigger thing than a room or a cot or a pot of water or all the stuff the campers found.
So?
I'm trying to say we have a lot of really neat stuff here, but we need a lot more of it for it to work. We need it in every village. I don't know why every fire station floor can't have mats for homeless men that don't want to stay out in the rain when
well,
they
Mike Rodkin
at.
Would tell you.
I don't see why every elementary
Mike
school
Rodkin
can't
would
be
tell
open
you.
At
Mike
night.
Rodkin would tell you that
it
all the
wouldn't
all,
take much
Mike,
if people
Mike Rodkin would tell you that all the homeless people in the world would come to Santa Cruz if you in fact did that.
Mike Rodkin is not the only one that abides that delusion, but that's all it is. The statistics don't bear it out. My experience doesn't bear it out, and I've been homeless. You know, one of the worst mistakes I ever made as a parent is moving to Watsonville, because that's where the family shelter was, and I'm trying to be a good girl, and taking my kid out of a school that could adapt to what he needed in an education. And he never got back on track again after third grade. That's my karma. That's not that shelter system's karma. They don't. They got blinders on, like most people who think they know something about homelessness. But I have to live with that forever, that I made a major boo-boo because they said I couldn't be allowed. They're going to tell me now. I've been a mother for quite a few years. Not
you are,
to
in
use
fact,
my budget to drive
are,
my kid to his school
you are,
where his teachers were teaching.
You are, in fact, the mother of three.
Yes, mm-hmm. and one was grown by then. Mm-hmm. I can't say I'm a great mother, but I'm a resourceful mother, and I love my kids.
Right. Now,
I'm saying you can get really screwed up by trying to get into these institutional living situations, but there's a lot of other things. And the kind of dinners that the church, the Red Church downtown used to give like 12 years ago, anybody can do that. I mean, any handful of people that's not afraid of learning how to use a knife or clean a counter can do that.
Now, wait
for
a minute. No, the city council will find a way to criminalize groups
sure.
like Food Not Bombs.
If you're successful,
bombs.
Those bureaucrats will interfere. But we can
actually,
take those clue from Paige Smith and Paul Lee and just do it and get people off the streets and out of the rain and back in touch with each other, and lives are saved. And even if we only get to do it for a few months, a whole lot of things are different.
A whole lot of things.
People's lives have a fundamental. I'm too warmed up now to do this.
Yeah, you're warmed up. I mean, that I'm really. Your passion is really, you know, instructive, and I feel like, you know, patting you on the back at the same time, saying,
"I'm trying."
We have a limited show, and that's why I try to channel it in certain directions. And you know, and so you can't. I know you're trying to say a lot of things.
We can't leave this to the government.
Right. Well, that's nice. That's
it's nice.
Not but nice. It's not relevant to what the caller was asking, but I think it's a very important point, you know.
Oh, if you understood you know? Me, you'd see the relevance.
Anyway, so well perhaps other listeners will. You have about 6 minutes to call into the show if you want to at 427-3772. If you want to find out what's happening with the Measure K Commission, you can always contact Anita Henry, who is on that commission. And I guess the best way to do it is through the city council. Maybe that would get them off their butts, so they would have to contact Anita directly and say, well, you've got to call people asking about the commission.
Anybody can call me at 425-3444, and I'd be happy to talk to them about Measure K or direct them to a doctor or give them any information or advice.
Give that number again,
Anita.
I'm
an expert in.
Give that number again.
It's 425-3444.
425-3444.
And I have a nice ass.
That's for sure.
Yeah, why the hell I would want to say that, I don't know. I heard Tyra say it.
I would second that immediately. I think we may still have a caller. Do we still have a caller? I don't think we do. You know, that's pretty good because we're kind of running short on time. And in a moment, Uncle Dennis is going to be arriving in the studio to change the whole tone of things to a more melodic tone. Melodious, thank you. I wasn't able to talk about Berkeley. I actually was on the air for all of 3.5 minutes earlier today around
noon. It was a terrible show. Not actually, just the way they shafted you. The only speaker worth listening to on that show
was
the homeless guy.
We're talking about a show that went on KPFA. Mm-hmm. In which we talked about homelessness and anti-homeless laws. I thought it was actually a pretty good show, although I didn't get a chance to do my rap, but I get a chance twice a week to do it, so what should I be complaining about? I'm going to be playing probably some of that show on Sunday, and also I'm going to be coming back on the wake-up call, which is the Thomas Levitt 7:30 to 9:30 Sunday morning show, and I will be playing a bit, I believe, a flashback from Berkeley, if Thomas so feels he's interested, and some more from the E3 Playhouse public testimony, which will be resuming, I remind you, Tuesday at City Council. Again, I guess I can, I've kind of said my piece tonight. I want to thank our guests who are conspiring against me over there, Anita Henry
and
Linda.
We're
Linda
kissing
Lamaster.
And snuggling each other,
all
Robert.
Right. We have a caller. Let's see if we can get them involved in the menage
a trois.
Did
you say something about
here.
The lawsuit to contact?
We have
Data
a
for the
caller.
Lawsuit.
Hi there, caller. You're on free radio with the endlessly voluble Linda Lamaster. Go ahead.
Well, that E3 thing, it would be great if
Madison,
the dance
call number four,
scene,
or is it number five?
I don't know. I lost track. But the dance scene in Santa Cruz is the only thing in this town that is internationally recognized.
Thank
the rest
you.
Of the art here is a joke, and if you think the Mets and the tattoos is art, you're a bunch of idiots.
Thank you.
What about surfing?
No.
Anybody
that
who doesn't recognize.
It was an expression of opinion from a member of the audience. So, when Anita Henry, MedX worker, Linda Lamaster, tireless writer, and sometimes tiresome speaker, I want to thank you for being with us on this edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides. You have any final statements to make? You're shaking your head in disbelief.
Probably never.
Anita?
I really enjoyed being here, and it was a nice surprise to see Linda. To share the show with you. It's always exciting.
I think the three of us are having fun.
Well, perhaps.
Does the audience like it? That's what matters. Do the listeners like it? Indeed. Do they like what you're saying?
I will play the rest of this interview as a sort of a going away segue into the next show. And I will thank you for being with us again. And come in again, you two, preferably one at a time. Together, you are hard to deal with. But I think if I isolated you, perhaps with some drugs, we could deal with it.
You sound like a male chauvinist piglet.
And there's probably a reason for that. Thanks for being with me on this edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides. Tune in again on Sunday morning. 7:30 is the wake-up call, 9:30, Bathrop Spears Broadsides. The show is archived at www.huffsantacruz.org.
So, but as I understand, because I know you had the activist Linda LeMaster is also a knowledgeable, I guess, member of the Continuum of Care, one of the main poverty pimp groups in town, eager to get grants from the federal government. But she testified that it was apparently rules of all the shelter that they didn't allow people with medical marijuana, didn't give them services, right?
Oh, yeah, that's correct. She said that it was a funding issue, that they didn't want, no one would do anything to endanger their funding. I also asked her if it weren't for the fact that it was illegal at the federal level, what their position would be, and she said, well, it's structured in such a way that it would never come up, which the judge pointed out, by the way, that she was very key or instrumental in the judge's decision.
The mean guy was the judge?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah. But she did make a point of stating that Linda Lee Masters' testimony was very critical to her.
And she asked you about how much money you had, although that wasn't really relevant because you had no real options. But for other people, it might be relevant because if you have the money, theoretically, to go into housing, although that's requires a significant amount of money in Santa Cruz, how much does it cost to rent a motel room for a night?
Well, it depends. The best rate that I have found during the week is around $60, and then it goes up to $80 or $90 on Friday and $100 on Saturday, and this is in the summer. As for a weekly rate for a room, the best rate that I have found is $420. Most places don't have weekly rates during the season. That's only during the winter when it's raining and they don't have any tourists that they do that.
So are you in lodging tonight? Are you outside?
Oh no, I couldn't possibly afford it. We went through my finances. I'm like $7,000 in debt now, mostly for motel rooms and lodging.
And so you have another, when is the next date of your next ordeal in court?
There hasn't been one set yet. As I checked at the window about this ticket, they said I have until the 27th. I will, as I said, plead not guilty and see what happens.
is behind. Come with us and find the pleasures of the journey to the center of the mind. Come along if you care. Come along if you dare. Take a ride to the land inside of your mind. Beyond the seas of thought, beyond the realm of what, across the streams of hopes and dreams where things are really not. Come along if you care. Come along if you dare. Take a ride to the land inside of your mind. But please realize, you'll probably be surprised. For it's a land unknown to man where fantasy is back. So if you can, please understand, you might not come
just the face where I can hang my head.